Pesachim Daf Sadiches. We are starting with the Mishnah on Sadi Zayin Amud Beis. We have been spending the last couple of days talking about the idea of Dichui, rejection of a carbon. The Mishnah here is going to continue its discussion and give us more examples of animals that are subject to this Dichui. The Mishnah starts off, Hamafish Nekevel Pischo, someone setting aside a female animal towards his carbon Pesach, O Zachar Ben Shtei Shanim, or a male animal that's in the second year. So both of these animals are going to be rejected for the very simple reason that the Torah is very clear about which animals one could bring for a Karban Pesach. Torah says it has to be male. Torah says it has to be within its first year. So in these two cases of the Mishnah, the person selected an animal that from the very onset is going to be disqualified, either because of gender or because of age. Being that this was set aside as a Karban Pesach and rejected from the onset, so the Mishnah says, now that the animal is rejected, so you're going to have to redeem the Kedusha from the animal, and then take that and transfer it into a Karban Shlamim. The Mishnah writes, so Yira Ashi Yistai V'yimakir, so you're going to let it graze until it gets a blemish, and then you're going to sell it, V'yimplu Damav Lindava L'Shlamim, and then the money is going to go towards the Karban Shlamim. The Rashi takes out the word nedava over here. Seemingly, it doesn't belong in the Mishnah. But the idea is that the proceeds are going to go towards the carbon shlamim. As the idea is that the animal itself can no longer be brought as a carbon, not even as a carbon shlamim, because the animal itself has undergone the principle of dichui of rejection. But nevertheless, the money, once you transfer the kedusha onto money, so then the money can go ahead and be repurchased for carbon shlamim. The Mishnah goes on to say, as we are now on the top of Sadeh Chesem and Aleph, Amarfish Pesach Vemei, somebody sets aside a carbon Pesach and that person then dies, Rachmanos, Lo Yevene Beno Acharav L'Shem Pesach, his son who inherits the carbon cannot bring it as a carbon Pesach, El L'Shem Shlomim, but the son is in fact allowed to bring it as a carbon Shlomim. That second case in the Mishnah, we're going to be spending some time talking about in the upcoming Gemara, but first the Gemara has got to make a couple of general conclusions that we have arrived at from the first case in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if a person set aside either a female animal or an animal that's a two-year-old, both of them are ineligible to be brought to Karban Pesach, so the Mishnah says that that Karban is going to be rejected. Amar Ravuna Bereder Rav Yeshua Shmai Minat Tlasro. The Gemara quotes B'Shem Ravuna, three conclusions that one can draw from this Mishnah. Number one, Shmai Minat Bale Mechaim Nidachim. The animal's a live animal, and yet it was rejected. And that rejection is a status. It's going to have the status of being rejected. And despite the fact that it's a live animal, and one could have made the argument that dichui is only for things that have already been shechted. Nevertheless, over here, according to our Mishnah, so balei chayim are in fact subject to the status of rejection. Number two, shma mina dichui mikara v'dichui. Also, this is dichui mikara. In this case, the carbon was rejected from the very beginning. Meaning you cannot bring a female animal as a Karban Pesach, and yet you designate it as a Karban Pesach. It never had a moment of eligibility, then transferred over to ineligible. This is not Nira V'Nitcha, but rather this is Dichui Meikara. One can make the argument, in fact, the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Lama Gimel, one can make the argument that Dichui Meikara is not as bad as Nira V'Nitcha. You could make that argument. Yet clearly in our Mishnah does not subscribe to that argument, and our Mishnah clearly is of the position that Dichui Meikara is still going to give it the status of being rejected. And finally, Shema Mina Yesh Dichui Bedamim, there's Dichui as it relates to the value Kedusha that's given to the animal. Rashi spends a good amount of time discussing this third point of the Gemara. Let's take a quick look at Rashi over here. It's really the quick look in this Rashi don't really go hand in hand. But still, let's take a look at Rashi, at least in the beginning of Rashi, where Rashi spends a good amount of time explaining what this means. Rashi writes, Dibra Maschel, Shema Minah Yishtichu Bidamim. So, Kedepricious, Bekama Mekomos. Rashi says, I explain this in a number of places. Begmar Matzin Lashon Zeh, Gabi Hadam Rav Yochanan. So he says, I'll tell you where the Gemara discusses this idea. In a case relating to Rav Yochanan, Behema Shol Shnei Shutfim, you have an animal owned by two partners. Heiktish Chetzia, Vechaz Velaka Chetzia, Kedusha Ve'ena Kreva. Let's say one of the partners owning obviously 50% of the shareholdings of this animal was Makdish's share. Now, he did not imbue the animal with Kedusha Seguf. He can't. Being that you own only 50% of it, the only thing that you could do is you could be Makdish your 50% share. So that means to say that you imbued it with Kedusha's Damim. And even if subsequently you bought out your partner and now you own the second 50%, nevertheless, this animal cannot be offered as a carbon. And Rashi says Shema Min Atlas, and the Gemara over there says that we see three things. So Ki Hacham, just like we see over here in our Gemara, Maseches Kedushin, Uvizvachin, V'lamadati Pirushah, Mi Maseches Krisus. And now Rashi says, now really, I figured out what all this means based on the Gemara in Krisus, the Garasasa Malashan Hazeh, Shema Min Akedushah, Damim Nidche Klamar. Now Rashi over here, understanding is, Shema Min Afilo Davish Lokidesh Tchila, La'akrav is Gufo, Ela L'dama. When you have something where from the point of origination, you were not makdish the animal with kedushas a good, but rather kedushas damim. Could go in hikdash chetzia vechetzia asheni chulin. So, like the example where you're makdish 50%, the first 50%, which is the only 50% that you own, and then you obtain ownership of the second 50%. But since from the very beginning, from the origination of your kedusha, you were makdish with kedushas damim, that's enough to create dichui. Could go in hikdash chetzia vechetzia asheni chulin. So dichuli karv legufo betchilas hikdisho. Eino krav od la'olam. You cannot offer it as a carbon. And Rashi over here concludes, the whole v'nidche yidche. Meaning, once there was a point in time where it only had kedushas damim and not kedushas aguf, so that means that it is rejected as a carbon, since you only gave a kedushas damim, meaning the expectation is that its value is going to have kedusha, but it itself is not going to have kedusha. So since it has that status, it's always going to have the status of being rejected. Velote Manarashi says, here's what we're not going to argue. Ein dichui b'kashim ala hikdish l'gufo v'nidcha mehikriv. You could have made the argument that the only thing subject to dichui is only when you set it up as a carbon and you give it the kedusha as a guf, and then it gets rejected. That's what you could have argued, but that's not true. Ava kedusha zamim lo alima lamemar ba'toras dichui. I might have thought that if all I invested it with from the very beginning is only Kedusha Zamim, it's just simply not strong enough to create a Dichui. That's all what I might have thought. And what our third conclusion of our Gemara is teaching us, as Rashi points out over here, as it does in a number of places throughout Shas, is that when you imbue something with Kedusha Zamim, thereby rejecting it to be brought as a carbon, so that gives it a status of Dichui, and that is going to perpetuate even after the cause of the Dichui is no longer there. Okay. So these are the three points that are made in the Gemara, that a Bale Chaim is Nidachim, and Dichui Mekar is considered Dichui, and Dichui B'damim, when you invest with it the Kedusha's Damim and not Kedusha's Aguf, that still is also going to be Dichui as well. Good. We're back to the Gemara, Hamafish Pischo, Tan Rabbanan, Hamafish is Pischo V'meis, the person setting aside a Karm Pesach, and Rechman is the person, died im Benom Emuna Imo, so the Brisa tells us that if the son was appointed, registered over the Karm Pesach together with his father, so Yevein L'Shem Pesach, so you can bring it as a Karm Pesach, because once the son has already been registered together with the father, so upon the death of the father, so the carbon was not without registered participant, meaning the son was there at the time, and so therefore he could offer it as a Karm Pesach. However, ein beno memuna imo, but if the son is not registered, so that means to say that when the father died, now there was a moment in time where the carbon was totally unassigned, nobody was registered over that carbon Pesach, so then yivien l'shem shlamin l'shisha asar, so now you can no longer bring the carbon Pesach as a carbon Pesach, but rather you're going to bring it as a carbon shlamin. We're going to view it as a moser Pesach, and you're going to bring it as a carbon shlamin. You bring it on the 16th day of Nisan, and the Gemara immediately notes that the Brisa here is very specific, the 16th, not the 15th, l'shisha asar in l'chamisha asar lo kasav nadar v'nadav v'zin krev v'yamtav. Good. So the Gemara says that this is a rule that we're going to see a number of times. We're going to see in Masech the Beitza a couple of times as well. And the idea that a voluntary offering of Ned or Nedav are not going to be offered on Yontav. You can't offer it on Yontav. Good. All right, anyway, in the meanwhile, so the Brisa over here lays out the rules, which we saw in our Mishnah, but the Brisa actually is more elaborate than the Mishnah, in that we have a scenario in which sometimes when the owner of the Karm Pesach dies, so the son can just simply offer it as a Karm Pesach, i.e. when he's registered, and when the father died, the son was not registered, so the son cannot bring it as a Karm Pesach, but rather as a Karm Shlamim. Now, in this Brisa, so there needs to be a lot more context and a lot more detail. And from here into the upcoming Mishnah, later on this Amud, so the Gemara now is going to go through some very basic Q&A. So demitza av emas. So exactly when did the father die? So imlin demitz konim chatzos. If the father died before chatzos, so benu memuna imo yivin l'shem pesach. So in the brisa says that if the son is registered, so then it's going to be brought as a karm pesach. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. Achala aninus ila ve mikara. Now, if the father dies, that means that the son's an onain. Now, remember what we learned? It was a little bit over a week ago, back around Daf Tzadi Aleph, where we talked about shechting a Karban Pesach on behalf of an onain. Now, Min HaTorah, an onain is going to be an onain for that day, meaning that day cannot partake of Karban, but that night, so even though there is an opinion that says that aninus extends into the night midirabanan, but for the allowance to eat the Karban Pesach, so we said that you could shech the Karban Pesach on behalf of an onain so that he can eat it tonight. However, also going back to what we learned back in Tzadi and Tzadi Aleph, so the Gemara made the following distinction. Really, the Mishnah made the following distinction. If this person is part of a group, so then you could check the Karban Pesach on his behalf. But if he's the only one who is right now the owner of this Karban Pesach, so you cannot check it on his behalf. Why? So the Chachamim were concerned that being that right now the sole register of this Karban Pesach is this Onain, well, the Onain may have to take care of the mace and take care of the barrel and actually become Tameh and be able to eat the Karban Pesach. And now we went through the trouble of shechting Karban Pesach, and there is not going to be consumers. So, if the Onin is the only one who is registered over the Karban Pesach, so then the Chachamim would not allow l'chatchila somebody to shech the Karban Pesach on his behalf. Good. So with that stated, so the Gemara says, so now I have a really difficult time understanding our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if the son was registered over this Karban Pesach and the father dies, so then you shech the Karban Pesach on behalf of the son as a Karban Pesach. But the Gemara says, but the son's an onain. And if the son is an onain, so l'chatchila, one shouldn't shech the Karban Pesach on behalf of the son. Ela demeis acher chatzos. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to have to say is that the father died after chatzos. Now this requires a little bit more explanation. Father died after the chatzos. Isn't the son still going to be an onain in that circumstance as well? So Rashi writes over here that if the father died after chatzos and now the chiyuv of Karban Pesach has already kicked in, so then the Chachamim were less concerned because the son now knows that the Karban Pesach is on the line and on the obligation to bring the Karban Pesach is on the line. Now, I'll just state the obvious points. If there's no one else to bury the father and the son has the chief responsibility to bury his father, so obviously it is then the son's requirement obligation to bury his father, and he'll just simply get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. That's an obvious point, but I'm more than happy saying it. The Mishnah is dealing, or the Bryce is dealing with the scenario where the son is an onin and somebody else can take care of the kvura. Under those circumstances, because it's after Chatzos, this is Rashi's explanation, because it's after Chatzos, so therefore the Chachamim were less concerned that the son is going to be flippant about becoming Tameh, despite the fact that it's father, and obviously it's unbelievably emotional, but the Chachamim were less concerned, and therefore if in fact he wants to have somebody shech the Karban Pesach on his behalf and he'll eat it tonight, so that the Chachamim allowed. It's only when the Misa occurs in the morning that there the Chachamim are really concerned that he's just simply not going to be careful enough. Oh, so the Gemara says, so now that we're here, so this is what the Gemara is suggesting, that the Misa occurs after Chatzos. So the Gemara says, okay, but just let's follow through in the Braisa. Because if the son's not registered, so what are you going to do? You're going to bring us the Karban Shlamim. The Gemara says, now, that of course doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Because once it's after Chatzos, so now we have a Koveya. Meaning we now know that this is now eligible as a Karban Pesach. So if it had eligibility of a Karban Pesach and then subsequently got disqualified, i.e. the son was not registered, so now this Karban Pesach is going for a moment in time when the father died, is now for that moment in time a Karban Pesach with no owners over that Karban Pesach, no registered participants over that Karban Pesach. So what we're looking at basically is a rejected Karban Pesach. That's Tichui. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So what do you mean you're going to be bringing it as a Shlamim? You're not going to be bringing it as a Shlamim, but rather it's going to have to allow it to be grazed and develop a blemish, etc., etc. But you're not bringing it as a Shlamim. So the Gemara says, so good. So now where we're at in the Braisa is good and confused. Because if the son is in fact registered over it, so then the only circumstance of the Braisa where it would make any sense is that if the death occurred after Chatzos, but the Gemara says, but if the death occurred after Chatzos and the son is not registered over it, so then what we're looking at is Dichui over here, and as a result of that, the Karban itself cannot be Brozer Shlamin. So we're trying to make sense of the Braisa, and it's really difficult. The Gemara is going to give no less than five different ways to how to explain this. So number one, I'm a Rava. We're talking where the Braisa The Brisa is dealing with the death of the father occurring before Chatzos and Ma'yivein L'Shem Pesach. And when the Brisa says that you're going to be, the son's going to bring this to Karm Pesach, so that's L'Shem Pesach Sheni. It doesn't mean Pesach Rishon, it means Pesach Sheni. Okay, simple. Good, that's one possibility. Abaye Amar Livstadim Katani. Abaye says no. What we're going to have to do is that we're going to have to really narrow the scope of the each section of the Brisa. And that means to say as follows: Meisachar Chatzos Benomemuna of Imo. So, if the death of the father occurred after Chatzos and the son is registered, meaning only when those two circumstances are both in effect, so then you vien l'shem Pesach. So then you bring it as a Karm Pesach, because now once again the son is registered. So you've always had a registrant over this carbon, and the fact that it occurred after Chatzos with the Chachamim, we're not worried that the son is going to be derelict about him becoming Tamei. And now, Meis Karm Chatzos, Ein Beno Memuna Imo, Yiven L'Shem Shlamim. And now we're going to go to the other half of the Brisa, and that is that in the other half of the Brisa, once again, we're just limiting the scope. It's that the father died before Chatzos, and in such a scenario, the son wasn't registered over the Karm Pesach. So under those circumstances, now you're going to bring as a Shlamim. What about rejection? There was no rejection over here, because rejection is only only applicable if it was eligible to Karm Pesach. But since the father died before Chatzos, so at that point in time, it did not yet arrive at eligibility for the Karm Pesach. So we're not talking now about Dichui, so that's why it could be offered as a Shlamim. It's just simply most or Karm Pesach. That's answer number two. Answer number three, Rav Shravi Amar, Lolam Demisacher Chatzos, we're talking about where the death occurred after Chatzos. And the father was a gosis at the time of Chatzos. So we're talking about a case where the son was in fact registered together with the father. And under those circumstances, the son could bring it as a Karm Pesach. Now, even though the obligation took place, the death occurred after Chatzos, nevertheless, because we knew that the father was in the throes of death before Chatzos, so Chatzos is not going to affect it and not going to give it a status of dichui. So fine. So basically, the ghostly status allows us to look at the animal even from before Chatzos as being something that was not pushed off and not rejected. That is another possibility. A fourth possibility, the Gemara Rav Ashi Amar La'olam Demisachar Chatzos. We're talking about where the death occurred after Chatzos, Rabbi Shimon, the Amar Ein Balei Chayim Nidachim. And we could just simply say that the author of the Brisa is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that live animals are not going to be subject to rejection. We've already gone over this, so let's go over it again. Whether live animals are subject to rejection is a machlokas. Now, I know at the top of our Amud, we said that our Mishnah subscribes to the idea that Balei Chayim Nidachim. Good, that's our Mishnah. But Rabbi Shimon disagrees. And Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that Balei Chayim Einan Nidachim. And so consequently, what comes out from there is that we're not going to be dealing with a rejected animal. And as a result of that, it could be offered as a Karm Pesach. Ravina Amar Kigon Shi Frisho Achar Chatzos. Ravina says that the Hafrasha was done after Chatzos. And Umesa Balim Achar Chatzos, and the owner died after Chatzos. Because of Chatzos Kava. This fifth answer over here is a really interesting one, meaning to say that the son was registered together with the father. This answer can go either way. The son was registered, the son was not registered, either way. But the Hafrashas Karm Pesach took place after Chatzos, okay? When were they Mafreshit, the Karm Pesach? So, unlike in Pesach Mitzrayim, we just made this point a couple days ago. So Pesach Mitzrayim, they were Mafresh the Karban 4 days before on the 10th day. But after that, the Bikur had been done for 4 days, but the actual Hafrash itself, so that can occur anytime. It happens to be that Rashi on this daf says that typically they were Mafresh Karban Pesach Boba Yom on the day of the offering of Karban Pesach. Regardless, whatever the case is, what Ravina is suggesting is as follows. The Hafrasha took place after Chatzos. The death took place after Chatzos. So aren't we talking about Dichui? Meaning, let's go back to the Gemara's question. So if that's in fact the case, so So aren't we looking where it was eligible as a Karban Pesach? And so aren't we experiencing Dichli over here? And the Mishnah is ruling that you're going to be offering as a Karban Shlamim in the event that the son's not registered. So how can that work? It's rejected. So the Gemara's, so Ravina's understanding is Chatzos is Koveya. That noontime is Koveya. Now this takes an interesting turn because much like the position of Shmuel that we saw a day ago, like the position of Reb Zera that we saw 2 days ago, that Chatzos is Koveya, but Ravina's twist on Chatzos being Koveya is a really interesting one. The way Rashi understands it, and it seems to be the real simple pshat of the Gemara, is that Chatzos is Koveya and will set up an animal to be a Karban Pesach if it was a Karban Pesach established before Chatzos. Meaning if an animal was set up to be a Karban Pesach and then hits midday, so at that point in time now we're talking about a kviya. We're talking about where it is established and set up to be a Karban Pesach. And as a result of that, if in fact it's rejected, so that will be considered a status of rejection. But since you were setting this Karban Pesach up after Chatzos, and Ravina says that our Mishnah, this Brisa, subscribing to the idea that Chatzos is Koveya, so that means that we never had a Zman Koveya over this Karban. So therefore, it was never set up as a Karban Pesach. Now, I know that's really difficult to understand, because the fact that you are Mafresh as a Karban Pesach and it's the afternoon, would seem to indicate now that you are, in fact, going to bring it as a Karban Pesach. I know it's difficult to understand, but over here we're talking about what is effecting a status. And Ravina's arguing over here that the author of the Braisa says that Chatzos is a Koveya. And so since at the time of Chatzos, it was not Mufresh as a Karban Pesach, so therefore it didn't experience the Kvias, and therefore it is not going to be considered rejected. Okay? Certainly a difficult approach, but the Gemara says that's another way to look at the Braisa. So the Braisa gave us a scenario in which either the son was registered and you'll bring it as a Karban Pesach, or the son was not registered and you'll bring it as a Karban Shlamim. Understanding the Braisa was a challenge. The Gemara gave us five different ways in terms of how to understand the Braisa. Okay, we are continuing. We're inside the Ches Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. And we are now up to the second Mishnah of this Amud. A Pesach Shenisar B'Zvachim, so have a Karban Pesach that's mixed up with a bunch of other Karbanos. Rashi, over here, is specific about the example that's given in the Mishnah. Shoshet Laim Echash HaBesach V'Echash HaAshem. It's the first Rashi in the Mishnah. So you have three animals that get mixed up. Karban Pesach with an Ashim with an Olam. Now Rashi over here, obviously, knowing his Kachim, you know, inside out. So so Rashi over here obviously gives three examples of three Karbanos that obviously all can come from male Karbanos. Karban Pesach by definition has to be male. So the only way you can confuse it is if it gets mixed up with other male animals. That's why it got mixed up with a Karban Ashim and a Karban Olam. And Rashi goes on, V'nisarva Pesach Meneim. Now, I'm going to read the Rashi, even though we're going to see most of this in the Mishnah, but Rashi over here gives us some rich detail. So you're going to have to let it graze and develop a blemish and v'yavi b'demei yafesh b'hem ola. So, and what you're going to do is you're going to take from the choices of these animals, you're going to purchase a Karban Ola. D'shema ha'yafe ola, because you could very well be that the nicest animal was a Karban Ola. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to take also the most expensive animal and use that to purchase a Karban Asham. Over Demei Yafa Shemem Pesach, and the same thing with the Karban Pesach. Im Konem HaPesach Nistavu. V'im La'achar HaPesach Nistavu Yevenu Shlamim. Now, if it happens to be after the Yantav of Pesach is over, so then you'll get a Shlamim. D'shem HaYafa Pesach HaYav Osa Moser Shu Tzarech Lohosif Al HaShnaim Ashi Yagiu L'Demei HaYafa Shebehem. Yafsi mi beso mi shalom. Okay, now Rashi, from that point forward, goes on to ask a question, gives an answer. It is really important, but right now, let's just deal with the basic idea. So you have these karbanos that get mixed up together, and now you don't know which one's which. So what you're going to do is you're going to take the most expensive of those three, and you're going to transfer the kedusha from that animal, of course, after it develops a blemish. So you're going to transfer the kedusha from that animal onto another animal and designate three separate karbanos, an ola, an hasham, and a Karban Pesach. Now, obviously, you will not have sufficient funds to do so. Meaning, you're taking the most expensive animal, and you're assuming that that could have been, you're not assuming, but the possibility is that that animal could have either been the Ola, the Asham, or the Pesach. So therefore, you don't want the Mizbeach to lose out at all. And so therefore, what you want to do, what the Mishnah instructs you to do, is to transfer the Kedusha from the most expensive animal onto three separate animals. Now, obviously, there's going to be a shortfall because there's no way that you're going to be able to sell all three animals in order to get the funds necessary for three animals, each one of them matching the most expensive animal. There's going to be a shortfall. So the Mishnah says, yeah, that's understood. And what you're going to do is you're going to have to reach into your pocket and you're going to have to make up the shortfall that exists. Let's see all this in the Mishnah. A Pesach Shenesarav is Vachim. Kulam Yiru Ad Shistavu V'yimachu V'yavi B'dmei Ayafa Shabem Mimin Zeh U'V'dmei Ayafa Shabem Mimin Zeh V'yafsid Hamosar Mi Beiso. So the Mishnah says that what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to take the most expensive one and assume now that either the Pesach, Asham, or Olo is coming from the most expensive one and the shortfall is coming out of your pocket. Nisar B'Becharos, last case here in the Mishnah, is that let's say your Karban Pesach gets mixed up with a bunch of Bechor animals, firstborn animals, obviously headed towards the Kohanim to be eaten by the Kohanim. But right now, your Karban Pesach got mixed up with a bunch of Becharos, so what do you do? So Rabbi Shimon Omer im Chaburz Kohanim. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a group registered Kohanim, register over this collection of animals, and then Yochelu, and then you're going to eat it. That night at the Seder, so they're going to be eating this Karban Pesach together with the Bechor. We don't know which one's which. So it's true we don't know which one is which, but nevertheless, because they're Kohanim imanav shach, meaning Kohanim are allowed to eat Bechor, Kohanim are allowed to obligate to eat Karban Pesach, and so therefore, even though we have a mixture of Bechor and Pesach, but you have the Kohanim eating it, and that would be fine. And that would be a way to solve for this Tarovis. As now we turn to the top of the Amud Beis, it's going to be a little bit of Gemara discussing Vaha Kamaisi Kachon Lebeis Apsul. So the question is, hopefully you thought of it already, is that in this last scenario of the Mishnah, when I have the Becharos and the Karban Pesach get mixed up together, and the Mishnah solution is just simply to invite a group of Kohanim to eat from it, because Miman Ashtach, it's going to work. So on one hand, that's true. On the other hand, the Bechor is a standard Shlemim, which is going to have 2 days to eat it. Meanwhile, Karban Pesach, you only have one night to eat it. So by treating each one of them going to be like the Karban Pesach, so you're going to be minimizing the amount of time to eat the Bechor. And of course, that is the idea of Kachem, maybe Kachem Labes Apsul. And the Gemara says, I thought you weren't allowed to do that. So the Gemara's response, Rabbi Shimon Latame, yeah, Rabbi Shimon's consistent. Damar Mevin Kachem Labes Apsul. Rabbi Shimon says that you are in fact allowed to bring Kachem Labes Apsul, meaning in this situation, where there is there's a tarovis and we need a solution. So Rabbi Shimon, under those circumstances, is comfortable with this kind of approach. So here a similar circumstance where you have two carbonates getting mixed up one with the other. One has a longer extended period of time of consumption. So Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Shimon says, okay, so you'll take the Asham and the Shlamim. Obviously, both of them are male. The Shlamim could be male or female, but in this circumstance, obviously the Shlamim is male. And you're going to take the Asham, you're going to take the Shlamim, you're going to shecht them both in the north. Asham needs to be shecht in the north. Shlamim doesn't, but again, we're going to treat them both like an Asham. And you're going to eat them with the Chumras of the Karban Asham. Meaning Asham is eaten by Zichrei Kohuna, Asham is eaten only in the Azara. And the other carbon, we're going to treat the same because we don't know which carbon is which. Good. So that is Rabbi Shimon's solution. And even though, obviously, you're going to be minimizing the amount of time that you're eating your carbon shlamim can normally be eaten for 2 days. But, okay, so in this circumstance, you won't be eating the carbon shlamim for 2 days. You only eat it for 1 day and 1 night. So Amr Lo, the Chachamim say to Rabbi Shimon, Ein Mevim Kachem Labeis Apsul. And the Chachamim are opposed to this idea because you're going to be minimizing the amount of time that you're eating a carbon. So the Chachamim are opposed to this idea. Okay, now, good. So it's easy to oppose. What about a solution? What are the Chachamim going to do vis-a-vis a solution? And the Gemara is going to ask specifically in our case over here. V'Rabbanan, now according to the Chachamim, so Hey Chavdina, so what are we going to do? So Amarava Nimtim Lo Ad Sheyumemu. So according to the Chachamim, what you'll do is you'll wait for all of the Karbanos to get a mum. Remember, our case over here is where the Pesach got mixed up with the Bechor. V'yavi behema shmeina. And now what you're going to do is you're going to bring an animal equivalent to the most expensive. V'lema kol hechadisa lepesach tachol ala dahai. V'achalo b'toros Bechor ba'mum. And so anywhere where there is a... where there was the Karban Pesach, so allow it now to transfer its Kedusha onto this animal. Okay, now, what are you left with? So you're left with basically two Bechor animals, assuming that the whole mixture was three. So you're left with two Bechor animals, and one now, carbon that was deconsecrated, right? In other words, there was a... it was a carbon anifta. Now, the only way you could be poda is where it developed a blemish. But again, all three developed a blemish, so you could be poda. So under those circumstances, now you have two bechors that are balimum, and you have one animal that's a balimum that was nifta. Now, the halacha is, so by a bechor balimum, that doesn't need pigeon. That you can eat without the pigeon. And for the third, which was a carbon pesach, so you did give it a pigeon. Again, you don't know which one it is, but that doesn't matter. To be poda it, you don't have to know which one it is. You just simply know that it was there, and you were, in fact, poda it. So under those circumstances, the Mishnah says that now... I'm sorry, it's not the Mishnah. This is Rava explaining how the Chachamim would solve for this problem. So the way to solve for this problem is just simply to be poda the Karban Pesach. Now you're going to have two Bechor Balimum together with... together with the Pesach that was Nifta, and so therefore you can eat all of them. The Bechor Balimum there are some restrictions in terms of how to eat it or not to make commercial activity out of it. But aside from that, though, it's perfect. It basically could be treated like chulin. This would be the solution according to the Chachamim, who do not allow a carbon to be truncated in terms of the time that it's going to be eaten. Good, Adkan, that takes us now to the end. And finally, our last Mishnah. As you can see, this Mishnah will really take us to the end of this daf. We're going to run through the Mishnah, but really, when we get to the Gemara tomorrow, we're going to speak more in more detail, specifically regarding the second half of the Mishnah. Okay, let's see the beginning of the Mishnah. A chabura shava pitzcha. So he had a chabura, and it lost his carbon pesach. V'amr l'achad. Okay, so now, of the group, there's one volunteer, one courageous volunteer, and he's ready to go hunt and look for that lost Karban Pesach. Good luck to him. But anyway, v'amru l'achad, say v'ikesh shchor aleinu. So basically, he was instructed by the other members of the chabura that he's going to go out and he's going to find it, and he'll shach the Karban Pesach. V'halachu matzav v'shachad. And as he was assigned to do, he found the Karban Pesach and he shachted it. V'heim lachu v'shachtu. Now, as far as the remaining group, so they got a little bit nervous. So what did they do? So they bought a replacement. And with that replacement that they bought, they assigned themselves to the replacement animal. And so now the question becomes as follows. Who is connected to which carbon? Okay, so the Mishnah basically says it really depends on sequence and order. Im shelo nishchad rishon. So if the original Karban Pesach was shechted first, hu ochel mishelo, so he's eating from the original, meaning our brave seeker. So he's going to be eating from that Karban Pesach. V'hem ochlim imo mishelo, and they're going to join him as well. Meaning to say that, remember, they commissioned him to go out and look. And so, although they did get a replacement, and although they did shech the replacement, but considering the fact that the original was shechted first, so that means to say that their registration still remains with the first one, and therefore they're eating with the first one. The im shalam nishchad rishon. Now, let's say theirs was shechted first. Okay, I understand it's going to be really hard to determine whose was shechted first. In just a moment, we're going to deal with the scenario of what if we don't know. But first, the Mishnah deals with the scenario of what if we do know. Right, I'll say it, but not seriously. Right, in other words, you're going to get a receipt after your Karban Pesach is shecht with a timestamp of when exactly was shechted. I'm not serious about that point. There probably is no time stamping. But anyway, let's just assume you know that theirs was shechted first. Im shalahem nishchat rishon. So if theirs was shechted first, so heim ochlim mishalahem v'uochel mishalom. So now they're going to eat theirs. Now weren't they registered with the original Karban Pesach? The answer is yeah, they were. But by replacing it. And not only replacing it, but offering it now the replacement. So clearly, what that is it's a withdrawal from the original, and now they move to the replacement. V'hu ochel mishalo. Now he who found the original shechted the original, so he's going to now be able to eat that original. In other words, he never came on board with the replacement Karban Pesach, and he's still staying by the original. V'imenu yodei zemem nishchad rishon. The Mishnah goes on to say, now what if we don't know which one was shechta first? Or shechtu shneim geachad, or let's say they were shechta simultaneously. So who ochel mishalo? So the Mishnah goes on to say that he's going to eat his carbon, basically vehema einam ochlim imo. But they're not going to be able to eat together with him. Vishalahen yasala beisach sreifa. Their carbon pesach, their replacement carbon pesach, is going to be taken out to be burnt. Upetur malasos pesach sheni, with an exemption of having to make pesach sheni. Okay, and the issue is as follows. Meaning, as far as he, the seeker, is concerned, so for him, there's always been clarity. He always was looking after the original. He was always connected with the original. So his assignment and registration to the original, so that's clear. That's unequivocal. However, because we don't know which one was shechted first, so we don't know if the remaining group moved on to the new Karm Pesach, or did they remain with the original? We don't know, but simply because we don't know which was shechta first. The Mishnah is clearly telling us that the sequence is going to be the determinant of which one they're connected to. But being that we don't know what the sequence is, so therefore the remaining group is simply going to be unsure as to which Karm Pesach is theirs. They can't eat both of them because one of them is an unregistered Karm Pesach to them. You're not allowed to eat a Karm Pesach that you're not registered to. So therefore, what they're going to be left to do is not eat any Karm Pesach. However, they do get a check mark for Karm Pesach. This part's interesting, but you think about it, it makes sense. Meaning that a Karm Pesach was offered on their behalf. We just happen not to know which one was theirs. Was it the original? Was it the replacement? Either way, a Karm Pesach was offered. Yes, it's true they're not eating from the Karm Pesach, but as we already said many times throughout this Masechta, the Achila is not Ma'akev. The Achila is really important, but at the very same time, it's not Ma'akev. Okay, so they don't have to bring a Pesach Sheni. Now, Amar Lahen, so the Mishnah now is going to develop these cases, giving us just a little bit more detail as we go through this. So Amar Lahem, so he says to them, meaning the one who was on the search and rescue mission. So he says to them, "Imachati su v'shachtu alai." So look, I'm going to go out, but if I'm delayed, so I want you to shecht for me. Meaning you're going to get a replacement, and then just have me in mind. So halachu matzav v'shachat. So now he went and he found heim lachu v'shachtu. Now they shechted. So here now it's going to obviously be a little bit more different. It's going to be a little bit different in terms of the conclusion because he commissioned them to include him in their carbon Pesach. I know that was a lot of pronouns, but hopefully it was clear enough and you understand. So, im shalem nishchad rishon. So if their carbon Pesach was shechted first, so hein ochlim mishlem v'hu ochlim imahen. So now everyone is going to convert over to the replacement. V'im shalom nishchad rishon. Now if his was shechted first, so hu ochel mishlo. Now he's going to eat his. V'hein ochlim mishlehem. Now they're going to eat theirs. Now, if we don't know which one was shechted first, or shechtu shneim kachad, or simultaneous shechita, heino ochlim mishalahen, so they're going to eat theirs, meaning, as far as they're concerned, so they knew that they were moving on to a replacement. So they're never in a state of doubt in terms of which one they're assigned to. However, who eino ochel imahem v'shalo yasala beis asreifa. Now, as far as the rescuer is concerned, you know how no good deed goes unpunished. So as far as the rescuer now is concerned, well, he was ready to move on to the replacement, but he said, but that's only if I don't come back. And meanwhile, he brought the original and he shechted the original, and now we don't know which one was shechted first. And again, sequence is going to be the determinant factor. If his was shechted first, so then he is still assigned to the original. If theirs was shechted first, remember, he commissioned them that he should participate in theirs. So if theirs was shechted first, so then that means that he moved on to theirs. So because we don't know, so therefore the original, the Mishnah is about to tell us, so v'shalo yatzla beis reifa, it's going to have to be disposed of. Upato masos pesach sheni. Now, our rescuer is not going to have to bring pesach sheni again for the same reasons that we outlined just previously, because we know that a karm pesach was brought on his behalf. We just happen not to know which one. And yes, it's true he didn't get to eat the karm pesach, but again, the achil is not ma'akev. Amr lehem v'amr lo. Now, let's say each one of them talked about what if we delay, and each one of them said, we want to join you in the event that we, in other words, in the case of the rescuer, in the event that I can't find it, I want to join you. And the case of the originals, they say, well, look, if you do find the original, we want to join you. So, ochlin kula min arishon. So, everyone is going to be eating from the animal that was shechted first. Now, if we don't know which animal was shechted first, so they're both going to have to be disposed of. Lo Amar Lahem Velo Amar Lo. Now, if there was no communication between the two, he didn't speak to them, they didn't speak to him. So under those circumstances, Ein Achraim Zelazeh, they're not responsible for one another. And basically now it's going to be every group for them, for themselves. And the and there won't be any claims one onto the other. Okay. Adkan, that takes us now to the first part of the Mishnah. So up until now we talked about a lost carbon Pesach. For the balance of the Mishnah, what if carbon Pesachs of different groups get mixed in one with the other? And so this is going to be our stopping point. We're going to stop over here because this part of the Mishnah is going to segue into the Gemara. And well, the truth of the matter is that the first part of the Gemara really deals with the first half of the Mishnah, but most of the Gemara is going to segue off the second half of the Mishnah. So we'll stop over here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up with the second half of the Mishnah of what happens when Karm Pesachs from different groups get mixed up one with the other, and what would be the solution under those circumstances. Let's quickly recap the daf up until this point in time. We saw a Mishnah, a person mafrish a female animal or an animal that is within the second year, animals that cannot be offered as Karm Pesach, but a person is mafrish those as Karm Pesach. So the Mishnah tells us that they're rejected, and as a result of that, they're going to have to wait till they develop a blemish and then redeem them. The Mishnah also describes how a person, Rachmanis, had a Karm Pesach, and he died on Erev Pesach. And his son now left with the Karm Pesach. Can the son offer it as a Karm Pesach? So the Mishnah says that, no, the son will bring it as a Karm Shlamim. Okay, on the first half of that Mishnah, as we are now reviewing Sadeh Chesam and Aleph, so the Gemara has three takeaway points from the first half of the Mishnah. Number one, Balechaim Einin Nidachim. I injected Rabbi Shimon right there. So live animals are subject to rejection. Number two is that Dichui Mikara Avidichui. Our Mishnah subscribes to the idea that even though it was rejected from the very beginning, that is considered Dichui. And finally, number three, Yesh Dichui Bedamim. Considering the fact that when you originally were Makdashit, it could not be brought as a Karm Pesach, so you really were Makdashit for its value. But nevertheless, though, its valuation, its Kedushas Damim, is enough to inject it a rejection. We went through the Rashi at length in terms of other examples where something was first imbued with Kedushas Damim, and yet it's going to be considered rejected. Good. So that is the three takeaway points from the Mishnah. Next. The Mishnah talked about where the father died, leaving the Karm Pesach over for his son. The Mishnah says that the son will bring it as a Karm Shlamim at a later point in time. The Brisa, the Gemara quotes over here, basically makes the same point as the Mishnah, but the Brisa also includes that there's going to be a time where the son can actually offer it as a Karm Pesach. And the Brisa is really tricky because at what point exactly did the father die? Meaning the son at one point in time is going to be, the son for sure is going to be an Onain. How could you bring Karm Pesach on behalf of an Onain? And if we're talking about where the father died in the afternoon, so then basically we're looking at Dichui, we're looking at rejection, meaning a carbon eligible to be brought as a Karm Pesach, but then it underwent rejection, and under those circumstances, you wouldn't even be able to bring it as a Shlamim. So it is confusing and difficult to understand the Braisa, and the Gemara gave five different approaches in terms of how to understand the Braisa. We're not going to go through all five approaches right now. The Mishnah on the bottom of Sadeh Chesam and Aleph, so it talks about a Karm Pesach getting mixed up with other Karbanos. Rashi says, get mixed up with an Ashram and got mixed up with an Ola. So what do we do? So we have to have all three of them develop a blemish and redeem all three of them using the animal with the animal with the greatest value as going to be the base amount of redemption. Obviously, there's going to be a shortfall. Obviously, you're going to have to make up the difference. And you're going to then transfer the Kedusha onto three new animals, each one of them now clearly identified which one's the Pesach, which one's the Ashram, which one's the Ola. The Mishnah also talks about what happens if you have a Bechor getting mixed up with a Karban Pesach. What do you do? So our Mishnah solution is to have Kohanim as a Chaburi eating the two Karbanos, because the Kohen's allowed to eat Bechor, Kohen's allowed to eat Karban Pesach, obligated to eat Karban Pesach. So the problem with that, of course, is that you are curtailing the amount of time that you're eating the Bechor, because the Karban Pesach is only eaten for one night. So the Gemara says, yeah, but our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon, as we now were on the top of the Amud Beis in the review. The Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon, so as a result of that, our Mishnah is comfortable with that idea. The Chachamim don't agree. How would the Chachamim solve for a problem? So the Gemara gives a solution for the Chachamim. And finally, the last part of today's daf is you had a group who lost a Karban Pesach, and they sent a member of the group to find the Karban Pesach. And a number of variables are included in the Mishnah in terms of whether or not, if in the event that the search was successful and they found the Karban Pesach and they shecht the original Karban Pesach, but at the same time the Chabura set aside another Karban Pesach, so what then becomes regarding the who is assigned to which Karban Pesach? So a number of variables are involved in this. Number one, which one was shechted first? Sequence becomes a major factor. And number two, what kind of communication occurred between the group and the person who was sent on the mission to search? Right? Was there achrayus established one to the other in one direction, in both directions, in no direction? So there are a number of factors to take involved. And tomorrow we start with the Mishnah regarding karbanos of one chabur game mixed up with the other. Adkan.